Blog Talk Radio.
What do you do when your battle chooses you? What do you do when something shows up on your doorstep that you did not directly cause, choose, or definitely anticipate?
Life is not always easy. In fact, some of you today, you're here and you're going through the toughest season of your life. There will be seasons where we will suffer. There will be seasons of real pain. And the question is, how will you respond in those moments?
Life is hard sometimes. Easy, it's not an option. But it's worth fighting. It's worth believing. It's worth giving yourself a chance. It's worth mustering yourself up, standing up inside yourself. It's worth fighting relentlessly, never giving up. It's worth it. You can do it. You can do it.
There's problems that we go through that cause stress, worry, anxiety, and fear. But you might be in the battle of your life. I want to encourage you. It's not about what's happening around you. It's always about what's happening inside of you.
Just because you feel afraid doesn't mean you have to be afraid. Just because you feel discouraged doesn't mean you have to be discouraged. Just because you have fear doesn't mean fear has to have you.
The sentence out of your mouth is a story that you are putting out. I'm not going to make it. I quit. Let's get a divorce. Business is never coming back. We've lost too many people. I've made too many mistakes. I'm a failure. Nobody can help me. I've done too many bad things. I don't know what's coming out of your mouth, but it's a death sentence. And as you continue to confess it, and as you continue to declare it, well, don't be surprised when it becomes true in your life. We have to make sure that whenever I feel, when I think a death sentence, I must speak a life sentence. Oh, I'm feeling the sentence of death. I'm feeling the thoughts of anxiety. I'm feeling the thoughts that I'm done. I feel like I've been used and it hurts and it's difficult. But when that happens, I start speaking out a life sentence. No, I'm just going to keep showing up. No, I'm going to get back up. The righteous man, he falls 7 times, but he gets back up.
Never give up. Never give in. Because skill can't get you past certain things. Quickness, agility can't get you. You got to have mental toughness. Pain ain't permanent. Your pain ain't permanent. You can get through this. You're bigger than your pain. You're better than that.
Come on, you need to remember, this is not the first time you cried. This is not the first time you were short of breath. This is not the first time you didn't see a way clear. This is not the first time you were hurt. This is not the first time your heart was broken. This is not the first time you didn't have enough money. This is not the first diagnosis that came up from behind.
That I'm gonna live to tell the story. This too shall pass. I will remain. I'm not going to quit. Every one of my burdens, there's a blessing on the inside of it. If you don't quit, you will win, baby.
You're going to work through this. You're going to get up. You're going to get dressed. You're going to get out. And you're going to do what you've been called to do. You're going to be what you called to be. And you're going to prove to everybody that tried to break you, everybody that tried to stop you, everybody that tried to kill your dream, you're going to prove all of them wrong.
Just keep coming back. If you got nothing left to give, just show back up. Half of life, man, is just showing up.
And I'm telling you right now, don't give up. I'm telling you right now, don't give in. Get through it. And if you can get through it, if you can work through your pain, I'm guaranteeing you, on the other side is a reward. Pain is not permanent. Pain is temporary.
Welcome to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. My name is Stacey Lunsford, and I am affectionately known as the Pastor of Poetry. The message today is entitled, Cast Your Burdens Upon the Lord, Part 1. And I pray that something said in the video that we were listening to, I pray that it encouraged you and that it made you think about the various things that are happening in your life. When we are overwhelmed, when we are tired, when we are fearful, when we are stressed, when we are disappointed, when we have been let down, when we have been rejected, when we have been isolated, when we have been ostracized, when we have been let go from our jobs, when we lose our homes, we lose our loved ones, we lose a job, we are betrayed. There are so many things that happen in our lifetime that can be emotionally draining. It can be emotionally stressful. And if we don't deal with our problems as they arise, that small problem will grow and it will get bigger and it will get taller and it will become a huge mountain. And then when we lift our eyes up, all we see is this mountain of problems that we're going to call burdens today. I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you and challenge you to just lift your head up a little higher today. Keep going. Yep, you can do it a little bit higher because I want you to look higher than the mountain of problems that you've been looking at. And I want you to lift your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help, because all of your help comes from the Lord. And the purpose of this series is to teach people how to cast your burdens upon the Lord. This is a very familiar scripture. It's a very familiar phrase that we often hear people say. Many people have said it to me during my times when I was discouraged, when I was down and out. Oh, Stacy, cast your burdens upon the Lord. It's easy for people to tell you what to do. But my question is, how do you cast your burdens upon the Lord? If I'm so overwhelmed and I'm reaching out to you for help and you say, cast your burdens upon the Lord, I'm grateful that you told me to cast my burdens upon the Lord, but I'm so overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. I'm so hurt. I can't pray. I'm so discouraged, and I just can't find the words to praise God because I'm overwhelmed. I'm hurt. I'm disappointed. And when these moments come, we have to rely and depend on God. So our foundational scripture is going to be 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter. And we're going to read the story about Absalom, Ahithophel, and a big conspiracy against Absalom's father, who was King David. And then we're going to go over to Psalm 55. In Psalm 55 and verse 22, we'll find the words, cast your burdens upon the Lord. So at this time, if you are listening via the internet and you do have a question or a comment, please write your questions or on the board, or you can text them to me directly, and I will present your question or your comment on the air. And if you're on the air listening live, please press 1, and I will address your concerns. And I do see a caller in the queue. Caller with the last 4 numbers, 0839, how are you?
I'm wonderful, and I want to thank you for sharing your wisdom and love of the Lord. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And thank you for joining. And thank you for listening.
So I have a question for you. First of all, may I please put in a prayer request from you and for your listeners?
What is your prayer request?
Well, my name's Howard, and I suffer from tremendous anxiety. And I love my wife very, very much, and she wants to go to Italy. Excuse me. She wants to go to Italy. And I want to go, but I'm in such great fear that my anxiety will overwhelm me. And I want to ask you, could you please pray that somehow, some way, this trip to Italy becomes canceled so I can work on myself?
Why would I pray that the trip be canceled? What's your name again?
My name is Howard.
Okay, Howard.
Because
you want
Italy.
More time. When do you want to go to this trip? When do your wife want to go to this trip?
She wants to go this summer, and my best friend is also, my best friend Jimmy is pressuring me as well to go with him and his wife, and I have to tell you, the anxiety is so overwhelming that I'm turning to you, could you pray that something happens so we don't go to Italy?
Okay, I'm going to pray for you to overcome your fear and your anxiety. And there's a lot of background noise with your phone. Can you adjust your settings so the static can go away so you can hear me a little better and I can hear you better?
Okay, I'm going to press mute when you speak. Does that help? Is it better now? Hold on. Let me see this. Hold on. Let me try this.
How long have you been dealing with anxiety?
Well, I like being at home. I enjoy painting and being by myself. And I just don't want to go to Italy. And I just want something. And I don't have the ability to break my wife's heart and my friend Jimmy's heart. And, like, for example, I'm so desperate. My friend Jimmy, he suffers from colitis, and it's unfortunate. And I was thinking, could you maybe please pray that maybe Jimmy gets a stomach ailment so we don't go to Italy?
No, because I don't pray that way. We don't pray for people to get sick, and we don't pray for things to happen so that trips don't happen, because if you pray that way, Howard, something terrible could happen to you, your wife, or your friends. And we don't want to pray for your friend to have an ailment, because we believe in praying for people to be healed and for people to be delivered. So I will pray for you. I will pray for your wife, and I will pray for your friend. What's your friend's name again?
My friend's name is Jimmy.
Okay, Jimmy. So I'm going to pray for the three of you, and then I'm going to go back to my broadcast, because this was the beginning of the broadcast, but because you had an urgent request, I stopped to talk to you, and now I'm going to pray for you. And I want you to understand that God loves you very much, and I'm very, very encouraged. Even though you're dealing with something that's really sensitive to you, I also hear you say you don't want to disappoint your wife. And that is so beautiful, Howard. And I really admire you and respect you so much for wanting to please your wife. So I'm going to pray now.
Well, that's
and
the thing. Hold on. I'm sorry. First of all, thank you so much for understanding, because, having anxiety, it's so hard to express it. And it's debilitating so much to me. And I'm so glad that you understand that it's all about the love for my wife. And I understand that you will not pray for my friend Jimmy to suffer from an ailment that he has already. I would never ask for something additional. I was just hoping that maybe the colitis would flare up, but that's okay. But can we pray for something?
I know.
But can we pray for something that would be unrelated? I have an idea, and I want your help. Can we pray, for example, that something happens to the pilot, like he gets the flu or COVID?
No, Howard. I'm going
to
listen. This is my radio broadcast, and you're interrupting my radio broadcast right now. I need to recognize when it's a genuine need, and then I need to recognize when the enemy is trying to use a tool to cause distraction. So either you want me to pray for you, and I will pray for you, but I'm not praying for anybody to be hurt at all. The devil is a liar. Do you understand what I am saying to you? I do not pray that way. If those are the kind of prayers you want done, you contacted the wrong radio network. This is Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. This is a place of love, and this is a place where we believe in helping people. I understand that you have anxiety. So do you want me to pray for you, or are you ready for me to close your mic?
I want you to pray, and I understand what you're saying. And how about an act of nature, which God is in, you know, God created this earth. Can we pray that?
And that is listening to this radio broadcast, I apologize for the interruption, but I'm not going to move away from it. I'm going to use it to incorporate it into my message, because my message is cast your burdens upon the Lord. And this is part one. So the caller, his name is Howard, and Howard is probably still listening. So I graciously opened the mic way before time, but I figured it was somebody that had something to say or maybe had a prayer request because of the topic, cast your burdens upon the Lord. So Howard is in the queue and he has his hand up. So I open up his mic, and right away he begins to talk about his anxiety and this trip to Italy with his wife, where he wanted me to pray that something would happen so that the trip could be delayed and he didn't have to go. But then he wanted me to pray for his friend that he would have a flare-up so that they can't go on this trip. And he was getting ready to say, to pray that something would happen to the pilot on the airplane. So I'm taking my time to break this down. And while I am speaking to you, maintaining my composure, I want you to know that I'm quite upset at the moment, because I felt the spirit of Python trying to wrap itself around my mind. And the spirit of Python works closely with mind-binding spirits. And so I understand this interruption. And for those of you that are listening to me, please listen closely. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. This is part one. I didn't even get into the heart of the message, and this interruption came. So what does that say to you? It says that this is a topic that God really wants his people to hear. This is a topic that the enemy doesn't want to be released. Am I going to get discouraged? Am I going to stop the show? Am I going to turn off my computer and walk away? No, I'm not. I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to pray for Howard. I'm going to pray for his wife. I'm going to pray for Howard's friend, and then we're going to move into the message that I have to deliver today, entitled, Cast Your Burdens Upon the Lord. And because of Howard's call, I'm very grateful. Thank you so much, Howard, for highlighting the spirit of anxiety. So before I start to pray, I want to talk about the spirit of anxiety. And the spirit of anxiety is associated with the spirit of fear. And when we deal with the spirit of fear, there are different manifestations of fear, worry, disappointment, despair, discouragement. All of these things go together. But when a person is dealing with anxiety, anxiety affects everyone differently. And anxiety will cause people to, it stops them from doing a lot of things that they want to do because of the fear. Now, there are different types of anxieties and different symptoms associated. And this broadcast is not about anxiety, but I'm just trying to break it down a little bit as I get ready to pray. So anxiety is an emotion which is characterized by an unpleasant state of inner turmoil and includes feelings of dread over anticipated events. And that's a great definition, because Howard is dreading getting on the airplane to go to Italy. He wants to go to Italy, and he wants to please and satisfy his wife and make her happy. So I am going to pray for Howard, and I'm going to pray for everyone like Howard that is struggling with anxiety. Because you know what? Anxiety is a burden. And our message today is casting your burdens upon the Lord. And this is part one. And I am going to pray, and I'm going to ask, if you are struggling with anxiety, if you are struggling with stress, if you are struggling with fear. Some people have a fear of flying. Some people have a fear of heights. Some people are claustrophobic. There's many ways that we are filled with anxiety. And I think this is good to connect with the message, casting your burdens upon the Lord. We're just starting a different way. I didn't intend to go this way. So what are some of the symptoms of anxiety? We're going to discuss some of the physical symptoms. We're going to discuss some of the psychological symptoms. And then we're going to discuss some of the behavioral symptoms. And this is courtesy of Mental Health First Aid. So when you're dealing with physical anxiety, sometimes you're going to experience, and right now I'm just speaking from my own experience, because when I would deal with anxiety, sometimes my heart would beat fast, or I would get a shortness of breath. And sometimes you get a dry mouth, you could have stomach pains, you could get aches and pains in your body. And I really want you to pay attention to that, because a lot of times people will experience pain and aches, and they say, I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know. I didn't do anything to hurt myself. Well, what's going on with you mentally, and what's going on with you emotionally? And especially if you are dealing with a great deal of hurt and pain, if you had a traumatic experience, something that wounded you, something that disappointed you. People manifest their problems different ways, and a lot of times it will affect our bodies. So sometimes when we have anxiety, we experience periods of restlessness and the inability to relax. So people are up all hours of the night. They're walking around. They're doing, they're cleaning, they're fixing. You know, you just can't get settled. So the psychological part of anxiety is excessive worrying. You get irritable really, really quick. You get impatient. You feel on edge. A lot of times you like on the edge of your seat. Yesterday on Soul Food Friday on our talk show, our topic was his words were smooth as butter. And Apostle Sheila, she talked about a person that is miserable, a person that is angry, and a person that speaks bitter words. And they're always ready to fight. They're always ready to argue. They're always ready to confront others in a negative way. And a lot of times it's because of anxiety. It's because of something that they are experiencing on the inside, and they don't know how to confront it or express themselves in a healthy way that will help them to receive help from those they're seeking help versus trying to help others. Sometimes people can say, oh, can you help me? And then they really don't want help. They turn around and they use that as an opportunity to hurt you or to distract you and to get you off track. So psychologically, sometimes when we're dealing with anxiety, it's hard to concentrate. Your mind will be in 5, 6, 7 different places. Your mind will race. Your mind will wander. You're trying to focus on one thing, but your mind is thinking about something else. So if you have a homework assignment, if you have a project to do on the job, you just can't focus enough to get it done. And it could be something as simple as cleaning up your backyard. So I'm just going through these examples. And when you have a difficult time concentrating, it's very stressful, and it increases the anxiety. And then another characteristic of being psychologically challenged with anxiety is a decrease in your memory. You have a hard time remembering things, and that can also be frustrating and cause irritation. So when we deal with phobias is also connected to the anxiety. Like, I really don't like spiders, and the name for that is arachnophobia, people that have a fear of spiders. So I've grown tremendously in that area, but that brings a lot of anxiety and fear. So we also have obsessive and compulsive behaviors, and then we have avoidance of situations and distress in social situations. So all of these symptoms contribute to the topic that we're going to discuss today, casting your cares upon the Lord. So I want to connect what Howard presented with his questions today, because he highlighted anxiety. And anxiety is connected to the spirit of fear, which I just went over some of the symptoms and the characteristics of the spirit of anxiety. So I also want to ask you to go with me to Psalms 55, because David was filled with anxiety. David was presenting his request to God, and he was fearful of what was happening around him. King David was afraid for his life, and he was wounded deeply because of his son Absalom and his counselor Ahithophel. They both turned their backs on King David, and they both betrayed him. They both hurt him and wounded him because they conspired the throne away from him. So that story is in 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter, and we are going to go there. But for right now, I'm going to ask you to go with me to Psalm 55. And while I'm waiting for you to get there, I want to talk about some of the symptoms of anxiety and fear. So sometimes you might get a hot flash. Sometimes you could get pressure in your chest, a tightness around your chest, or you could feel like a tight band around your head, And earlier I said when Howard was talking, like, I felt like something was trying to wrap itself around my head. And to be honest, I'm praying as I'm also speaking to you, because that tightness is just starting to ease up and go away now. So one of the purpose of bringing these shows to you is to help teach, to educate, but also to empower you to recognize the warning signs of the enemy and how the enemy attacks our bodies, how the enemy affects our emotions and our feelings. And sometimes we may have an ailment or we may feel a symptom and we speak it out of our mouths and we say, oh, I have. And I want to encourage you to get out of that, because when we say we have something, we come into agreement with it. Now, if you have been properly diagnosed by a physician and you have anxiety, I'm not saying don't acknowledge that you have anxiety. Of course, obey your doctor and do what your doctor tells you to do. But don't come into agreement with that ailment, because God said in his word that we are healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you an example. When I was caring for my mother and the doctors was giving me all of these reports about all of these blood clots that was in her lungs and in her knees, I was shocked first, but then I understood the level of anxiety she was experiencing. And for me, I had to learn how to cast my burdens upon God, because it was very stressful with caring for her, because her knees were so delicate because of the blood clots. And at the time, we didn't know that she also had gout. So even if a tissue touch your whatever part of your body the gout is in, even if a tissue, if the sheet would touch my mother's leg or her knee, she would be in tears. And so I was filled with anxiety and I was stressed because I'm hurting my mother, but I don't know how I'm hurting her when I'm only trying to care for her. So it wasn't until we talked to the doctors and they ran extra tests that we knew what was really going on with her. So the first thing I did, I said, thank you, doctor, but I reject your report, and I'm going to stand on the word of God in Jeremiah 30:17, because God said that he would restore my mother unto health and that he would heal all of her wounds. Now, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to give her her medication. I'm going to put the ointment on her legs, you know, to take away the pain. And now I can better assist her. I can better care for her. And surprisingly, the doctor was shocked, because I said, doctor, it's not easy being a caregiver. There's sometimes I'm overwhelmed. There's a lot of burdens that I'm carrying. There's a lot that's associated with caring for my mom. Do you have any recommendations for me for support groups for families that have loved ones that are dealing with dementia? And my doctor was so happy, my mother's doctor was so happy that I asked that question, because, again, this is associated with our topic, casting your burdens upon the Lord. So I'm actually happy that Howard called in the way he did and presented his questions in his prayer request, because it's taken us in a totally different direction where I can use my private pain for public profit, where others can be blessed and receive information that is something that they can relate to. So right here, I want to highlight whatever you are dealing with, whatever the source of the hurt, the pain, and if it is causing you anxiety, if you feel chronically fatigued, you're tired all of the time, you find yourself getting sleepy, you want to take naps a little bit more frequently during the day, if you get stuck in your thoughts sometimes, if you feel confused, sometimes you might feel like a little nauseated, or you may feel like passing out sometimes. You may feel a little faint. Please don't ignore these warning signs. And please listen to me when I ask you to cast your burdens upon the Lord. I don't care how big your burdens are. I don't care how small your burdens are. What's important is that you don't deal with it alone and that you don't allow it to grow and become this huge mountain. Because when it becomes this huge mountain, guess what? It's going to you do. It's going to affect everything that you say, and then your focus is going to be off. It's going to affect your creativity. It's going to affect your ability to eat healthy. It's going to affect your mood, and you're going to be sad. You're not going to be as happy as you used to be. You're not going to be laughing and bubbling over with joy, because despair and discouragement will come in so easy. And it affects how you sleep, and it will affect how you breathe. When we are dealing with problems, when we're dealing with hurt and pain, when we're dealing with fears, when we're dealing with worrying, excessive worrying, when we're dealing with grieving, many people are grieving today because they lost loved ones. And some of these loved ones, they died violent deaths, and that's very difficult to overcome. There are several processes to the grieving process. And within those processes, sometimes you're in denial, sometimes you are angry, sometimes you are fearful, you are confused, sometimes it's like reality is not present. It's like you don't believe that your loved one is gone, and mentally, emotionally, it's hard to find balance in that. And so the sorrow creeps in, and it takes over, and it will affect our appetite. Sometimes we won't eat at all, and then other times we will overeat. But the truth of the matter is, whether you overeat or whether you undereat or drink, it's still going to affect your health, and it's going to be in this burden that we carry that eventually weigh us down and prevents us from moving forward with living a happy and a productive life. So I want to identify the spirit of heaviness. And anxiety and fear are some of the manifestations of the spirit of heaviness, and the spirit of heaviness works closely with the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear, the spirit of heaviness, they all work together with the spirit of discouragement and depression. And this is where a lot of people, with whatever it is you're dealing with, Howard's anxiety to get on the airplane is really causing major problems with his ability to go on this trip with his wife to Italy. He wants to go on this trip, but he has to overcome the fears. So the manifestation of the spirit of heaviness is operating in Howard's life through the spirit of anxiety, and the open door is the spirit of fear. Now, behind the spirit of fear, there is something else going on, but I didn't have the opportunity to really talk to Howard, and really that call needed to be a personal call so that Howard and I can really talk and deal with some root issues and some things that are going on in his life. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, I would have been able to go a little deeper with prayer and even helping him to overcome some things. But nonetheless, I'm still going to pray for him. And if you are listening and you have a question, please press #1 and I will open up your mic. And right now I want to continue to talk about the manifestation of the spirit of heaviness, because the spirit of heaviness, one of the manifestations is sorrow and sadness. And the scriptures for that is Romans 9:2, Nehemiah 2:2, Nehemiah 8 and 10 and Proverbs 15 and verse 10. And I'm taking the time to give you these scriptures because I don't want to say things and not back it up with the word of God. I'm not making these things up. Many times we deal with things we don't understand. All we know is I'm carrying this heavy load. I'm burdened down by all of these things that are happening in my life, but we don't know how to overcome them. We don't know what we're dealing with. So all he mentioned was anxiety, and right away I knew I needed to come against the spirit of fear and prayer. So sorrow and sadness works with the spirit of anxiety and the spirit of fear. And it can transition to hopelessness because when we look at our problems, when we look at whatever it is that hurt us, whatever it is that wounded us, and we just rehearse it over and over and over and over. We don't see anything good in it. We haven't experienced anything good in it. All we know is that it hurt us. And whatever emotion that hurt and pain triggered within you, that is what's going to take control over your mind. So remember I said whatever it is, it started out small, but we didn't deal with it. This is why we need to deal with our hurt and our pain, our problems, our disappointments when they happen. Because when we sweep stuff under the rug, it's still lying there. And when we sweep more stuff under the rug, guess what? It connects with whatever is already under the rug. So then we sweep some more stuff under the rug. And I'm going to use an example. All of these manifestations, they work closely with the spirit of heaviness and the spirit of fear, okay? So the first thing that we're going to sweep under the rug, I'm going to say that someone was disappointed by their boyfriend. The boyfriend rejected them. So the girl didn't deal with the rejection. She was really hurt and wounded, but she swept it under the rug, okay? So now a different relationship, the girlfriend beat up the boyfriend and he got a black eye and his eye is bruised and he's embarrassed and he don't want to go to work. He don't want to let anybody know what happened to him, that a girl beat him up. And so he sweeps it under the rug. So now the rejection, the spirit of rejection is now connected with that bruised spirit. So now we got two relationships where one was rejected and one was bruised, but they're both dealing with the spirit of hurt. And I want you to understand that there are physical things that can happen to us and it causes pain. It hurts. So if I was working on my car and I slammed my hand in the car, that is going to hurt because the pressure from that door is going to smash my hand. So that's a physical hurt. But when you're in a relationship and you get rejected, when you're in a relationship and you get hit by someone, you get bruised, that's a different kind of hurt. It's an emotional hurt. It's a psychological. It begins to take over your thought process. And if we don't deal with that hurt, it will lie there. It will grow there. And it will stay there until something else happens. And so the next manifestation I want to talk about is discouragement. So this guy is working for UPS, and he is making all of his deliveries, and all of a sudden, and this was on the news last year sometime, and so all of a sudden these white men start chasing him and telling him, get out of their neighborhood. So he's just trying to do his job. He's not trying to, you know, get into no altercations with these people that appear to be racist. So he's filled with discouragement. And so now they pull out a gun and they start shooting at him. He's really discouraged. But not only is he discouraged, he's troubled. He's filled with despair. He doesn't know if he's going to make it home safe tonight. He doesn't know if he's going to ever see his family again. What if these white men kill me on my truck, in my truck, while I'm just trying to make my deliveries? So, honestly, he didn't have time to sweep anything under the rug. He was driving and running for his life. Can you imagine the anxiety level? Can you imagine the fear? Can you imagine the heaviness, the sorrow he felt? Because at this point, his situation was hopeless. So all of that stuff is under the rug. And the manifestations of this is the spirit of heaviness. And now I have to tap into the spirit of hatred. Because the white men that were chasing him, they were operating in the spirit of Haman. They were operating in an antagonistic spirit. They were hostile. They were racist. They were filled with hatred towards another human being that they wanted to kill because he was delivering packages in their neighborhood where black people was not welcomed. We're talking about Cast Your Burdens Upon the Lord, part one. And you're listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network of my caller, my first caller of the day, Howard. This broadcast has gone in a different direction today. And I really praise God for what he is doing, because these are wonderful examples of the burdens that we carry and how we these burdens happen and how we identify and then how we deal with them. So the next thing that I want to deal with is the spirit of grief. This African-American UPS driver, now he made it to safety, but now he's dealing with a spirit of grief. They traumatized him because they tried to kill him. So now he's filled with anxiety. Because what if this happens to me again? This is my route. I have to drive in that neighborhood. So there's a couple of things that he could do. He can embrace the fear, the anxiety, the despair, the hopelessness. He can embrace the hurt. He can embrace the despair. He can embrace the spirit of discouragement. He can do all of that. And for those of you that are listening, if you're dealing with some of these things, guess what? All you have to do is make a choice. You can choose to deal with it or you can choose to reject it. If you don't want to deal with it, it's going to stay there. It is going to remain there. It is going to grow there and it's going to grow with you. And then something else is going to happen to you and it's going to get bigger and it's going to get bigger and it's going to get bigger. Now, I gave you many scenarios. And so now, we're going to learn how to cast our burdens upon the Lord. So right here, let's go to Psalm 55. Excuse me. And we're going to start at verse 1. David experienced a lot of what I just described to you with these examples, with the spirit of heaviness, the spirit of fear, and all of the cohorts that work closely with the spirit of anxiety and the spirit of fear, the spirit of robbery. So when the spirit of fear, the spirit of despair, the spirit of heaviness and discouragement, whenever these spirits are working together, they all have one central goal. And that goal is to steal your joy, your voice, to steal your power, to steal your authority, to steal your destiny, and to prevent you from becoming whole. They want you to hold on to the hurt and the pain so that you will become miserable. But God wants you to let go of everything, and God wants us to forgive those that hurt us so that we can be happy and move on and live a good life.
You see, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you'll find that in John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Now, when Jesus died on the cross for the remission of our sins, Jesus was also bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And the word of God says, and with his stripes we are healed. So here we are, healed by the blood of Jesus, healed by the stripes of Jesus. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Let that sink in for a moment. Because whatever your burden is, whatever your hurt is, whatever your pain is, whatever the source, the root issue of your anxiety, whatever caused the fear, whatever caused you to feel rejected, whatever caused you to struggle with loneliness, whatever caused you to struggle with depression and hopelessness, whatever it is that caused you to grieve, guess what? Jesus' blood covers it all. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Not that we're going to be, we are healed. We have to learn how to receive God's word. We are healed. Do you believe that you are healed today? And listen, it's okay if you don't believe it, because to be honest with you, if you are struggling with something, and especially it's an ailment in your body, or if it's something mentally or psychologically, that thing is real, and I don't want you to ignore it. But in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, you say, I know I'm dealing with these symptoms, but I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. I'm going to come out of agreement with these symptoms, and I'm going to start speaking the word of God over my life. I'm going to start speaking healing scriptures, and I'm not just going to speak them. I'm going to believe them. And so somebody might be saying, well, Stacy, help my unbelief, because sometimes I don't believe what God is saying in his word. And if that's you, that's fine. I didn't always believe either, but I kept speaking the word over and over and over again. I was blessed to be around some of the older seasoned saints in church when I was growing up. And for prayer meeting every Tuesday, I would be in that chapel, and it was all older people. We didn't have a piano. We would sing. We would pat our feet and clap our hands, but the presence of the Lord would fill that place. And those seasoned saints, they taught me how to pray, and they taught me how to trust God, and they would give me scriptures, and I say, I'm speaking that word, but it ain't working. My situation ain't changing. And they would say, baby, just keep speaking. Just keep speaking God's word, because sooner or later, your faith is going to catch up with the word of God, and your situation is going to change. And several years later, here I am on the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, sharing the gospel, encouraging people, delivering inspirational messages of hope, praying for people all over the world, all because I did not give up on God. Even when my faith wasn't at the level that it needed to be, I stood on God's word. I was laughed at. I was mocked. I was humiliated. And even today, guess what? People are still putting their mouth on me. People are still mocking me. People are still saying, aha, aha, look at her. And you know what? I don't care about what they say. I'm doing what God told me to do. And I'm here encouraging people. I'm here helping people. And again, my private pain here to waste my breath or to waste my time. I'm here to do what the Father told me to do. So this message is either going to help you or you're going to simply go to another channel. But I'm not here to like please or to tickle ears. I'm here to deliver this message the way that God told me to deliver it. And sometimes our faith has to be activated. So I'm sharing all of that to say, continue to speak God's word over your situation, even if you're not fully in agreement with what God said. Because listen, God understands why your faith level is where it's at. And he is not condemning you. God is not holding, he's not taking tally. He's not keeping scores. God sees your faith, and God knows that you're not operating in the level of faith that he gave you. And he's not taking anything away from you because of that. But God wants you to understand that he understands why your faith is not at that level yet. And it's because you've been hurt. It's because you've been wounded. It's because you've been disappointed. It's because you've been betrayed. It's because you've been rejected. It's because you've been bruised. It's because you've been hurt. It's because you've been filled with all of these negative emotions. You've been traumatized by what happened to you. Now, he just highlighted veterans to me. There are a lot of veterans that struggle with post-traumatic stress disorder, which is also associated with anxiety, with despair, with discouragement. And they try very hard to overcome it. And guess what? They have good days and they have bad days, just like everybody else. But there's hope for the veterans. There's hope for everybody. Hope is on the horizon. So, excuse me. Now that we have identified many things, I'm going to demonstrate to you through the word of God how we can cast our burdens upon the Lord. Now, today, I just want to recap some of the things that we're going to be talking about. And again, this is part one. Today, we will take a closer look at King David's response to a huge conspiracy against him that was strategically orchestrated by his son, Absalom. And Absalom betrayed him. And I want you to know that betrayal is one of the hardest hurts to overcome because it literally breaks your trust. It kills your spirit and all of the faith. The love, the honor, the respect that you have for a person, it slowly fades away in a detrimental way that steals your joy, it silences your voice, and it steals your power. So what do you do when the pain is so bad and you don't know what to do? Well, I'm getting ready to give you a biblical prescription that is going to help you to overcome the spirit of fear, anxiety, and worrying, grief, despair, depression, everything that you're dealing with that is weighing you down, every burden that you are carrying. And sometimes our burdens have names. Can I get a hallelujah? Because some of you are carrying your children. Some of you are carrying your husbands. Some of you are carrying your wives. Some of you are carrying your siblings. Some of you are carrying your parents and your grandparents, your aunties and your uncles. Some of you are carrying the people that you have been in relationships with. Some of you are carrying the people that you have been intimate with inside of you. And it is a burden. And I'm talking about soul ties. If God was to open up our chest right now and reveal all of the burdens, all of the people, all of their problems that we are carrying around inside us, all we would see was a bunch of people inside of us. And I want you to really meditate on what I just said. If God opened up our chest to reveal all of the burdens of all of the people with all of their problems that we carry around inside of us, all we would see was a bunch of people, a bunch of heads, big heads, small heads, black heads, white heads, pink heads, red heads. And I'm saying that to say, even when we help people sometimes, it turns into
a burden. When we don't effectively let go of their issues, their problems, when people come to us for help, yes, we are supposed to help them, but we're not supposed to carry the weight, the hurt, and the pain of that person. We are to take and give it to God. Are we supposed to love on them? Absolutely. Are we supposed to pray for them? Absolutely. And then we go to God and we give it to God because we don't want to keep it either. We're just bridges that's helping people to make it over to the other side. So David was like Howard. David was filled with anxiety. David was filled with fear. He was running for his life. And so the first thing I want to teach you today about casting your burden upon the Lord is simple. Go to God in prayer. I'm not saying you can't go to other people, but other people need to be at God's discretion. Go to God first. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So we go to God in prayer first. And sometimes we don't need to go to others. God will lead us and God will guide us if he wants us to go to another person. And he will show us who we need to go to. And when we go to that person will be on God's agenda with helping you, not on their own agenda. You see, there's a difference. When you go with somebody that God told you to go to, they're going to help you from a biblical perspective. And God is going to anoint them with the wisdom, with the knowledge and understanding that is needed to help you. But when you lean to your own understanding and you go to people in your own strength, that person can be controlled by the devil. And the assignment is going to be to spiritually rape you, to hurt you, to destroy you, to discourage you, so that whatever it is you went to them about, you're going to feel worse. And your situation is going to change, and you're going to experience a downward spiral. Because the devil hates you and don't want to see you come into the fullness of what God has called you to be. But God loves you, and God wants you to be everything that he said you were going to be. Now we're going to learn how to cast our burdens upon the Lord. So Psalm 55, and we're going to start at verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror have overwhelmed me. And I said that I have wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her street. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my God, and my acquaintance,
We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He have delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in the Lord. So when it comes down to casting your burdens upon the Lord, the title of this series that I started today, which is Cast Your Burdens Upon the Lord, Part 1, our foundational scripture is found in verse 22. The title for this series came from Psalms 55, verse 22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So right here, I want you to understand the beginning process of casting your burdens upon the Lord is doing what David did. David went to God in prayer. He simply cast his cares upon God. The opening of this chapter, it says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. So the first thing we want to do when we cast our cares upon God is to go to God in prayer. And then we want to present our complaint to God. So my question to you today, what is your complaint? The first caller that called today, his name was Howard, and his complaint was anxiety. He wants me to pray for him to overcome anxiety. Now, that's really not what he asked me for, and I'm going to repeat and recap what he asked me for. So he identified his problem. But he asked me, his wife wants to go on a trip to Italy. But he asked me to pray that something would happen to prevent them from going to Italy so that he can have more time to overcome his fear. But then his friend that's going on this trip with them as well, he wanted me to pray that his friend would have inflammation, that his sickness would flare up so that he wouldn't be able to go on this trip to Italy. Now, I don't pray those kind of prayers. And that's when I told Howard, I said, Howard, I'm going to have to stop here because I don't pray those kind of prayers. But I'm saying this to let you know our complaints are important. But when you present your request to God, and I believe that Howard was very honest, but Howard didn't understand the consequences of praying those types of prayers. So I want to encourage you to be brutally honest with God when you go before him. And come in a spirit of honor and respect. Reverence God because he is God. You can't go to God any old kind of way. But sometimes we upset when we go to God. Sometimes we're crying and we can't even find the words to say. And God understands everything, even if we go to God and we mad. But all I'm saying is honor him, reverence him, because he is our heavenly Father, and he loves us so much, and he wants to help us. And it is through King David that he showed us how to cast our burdens upon him. So one, when we cast in our burdens upon the Lord, we're going to go to God in prayer and ask God not to hide his face from our supplications, from our petitions, from our complaints. What is it that you want God to do for you today? Go to God in prayer and then ask God to attend unto your voice and to hear your complaint. So it's easy to go to other people and talk, make a whole bunch of noise, right? But it's so much easier to go to our Heavenly Father because he already knows what we stand in need of anyway. He just wants us to come to him. So in verse 3, David identified what was going on. He said, because of the voice of the enemy and because of the oppression of the wicked, they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. So here we're going to identify the spirit of oppression, the spirit of hate, and how David was acknowledging that he was being oppressed. So for those of you that are being oppressed by family members, and this is a heavy burden for many people today and is real, David was presenting his request to God. He cried out to God. He cast his burdens upon the Lord, and he said, God, I'm being oppressed by a family member. I'm being oppressed by my son, Absalom. Absalom hates me right now, and he is oppressing me. Absalom is working with my trusted counselor, Ahithophel. They are casting iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. So he identified the problem. So this is what God wants us to do. So again, the first thing we're going to do when we cast our burden upon the Lord, we're going to go to God in prayer. We're going to ask God not to hide his face from our petition, our supplication. We're going to make our complaint known unto God. We're going to make a noise. We're going to make sure we got God's attention. And then we're going to tell God why we're asking him to hear our petition. We're going to tell him what the problem is. And if it's somebody that you know is causing trouble to you, identify who that person is. Identify who those people are. And then tell God how what they did or how what they said affected you. Because in verse 4, David is now telling God, he said, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are falling upon me. Stay with me for verse 5. He said, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror have overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. So when David is explaining that his heart is sore pain within him and that the terrors of death are falling upon him and fearfulness and trembling are come upon him and that he is overwhelmed with horror, guess what? He is identifying the spirit of anxiety. David is identifying the spirit of despair. David is identifying the spirit of despondency. David is teaching us about the manifestations of the spirit of heaviness. He was broken. He was wounded. He was hurt. And he didn't go anywhere else for help. He went to God. So my question to you, where do you go when you need help with whatever it is that hurt you? Question number 2, how do you respond when you are mistreated? How do you deal with the hurt and the pain and the disappointment? Well, as we learn in Psalm 55, David cried out to God in verse 22, and he said, David cried out to God in verse 55 and verse 1. He said, give ear to my prayer, O God. So that's the first thing that we need to do. But in verse 22, David said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So I want you to write these things down. It's 4 points. God is our burden bearer. God is our divine support. We are immovable when we are trusting and relying on God. Because the word of God says, he shall not suffer the righteous to be moved. So I want to remind you right here that if you are a born-again believer, the word of God tells us in Isaiah 54 that we have been established in the righteousness of God. So I'm going to go there because God is leading me to share something else in that chapter as well. Isaiah 50 is one of my favorite chapters. And a lot of times you will hear me say, and especially in prayer, I'll be declaring that no weapons formed against me shall prosper, or no weapons formed against us shall prosper. But let me read Psalm 55 again. I really want you to hear what God is saying, okay? It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So a moment ago, I said, I want to remind you that you have been established in the righteousness of God. And in Psalms 72 and verse 4, it tells us that we are far from oppression. We could ask God to break in pieces the oppressors that try to break us. So in Isaiah 54 and verse 17, it says, in righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come nigh near thee. Let me read that again. I'm sorry. Isaiah 54 in verse 14. In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. So verse 15, it says, behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. Verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So this is the word of God today. There are people that are going to gather together against you, but they have not been sent on an assignment by God. They've been sent on an assignment by the devil, and the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. In Psalm 55, David acknowledged why he made his petition to God. He was casting his burdens upon the Lord because it was too heavy for him. Why was it too heavy for him? Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Well, who gathered together against David? Well, you're going to have to stick around for part two because we didn't get a chance to go to 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter. So when we start on part two next week, we are going to read about David. We're going to read about his son Absalom, and we're going to read about David's counselor, and we're going to learn why David presented this petition to God and why he wrote the Psalm 55, which is a prayer where David was presenting his request to God in a situation where he was filled with anxiety, he was filled with fear, and he was experiencing great despair and was seeking God because he needed spiritual rest. And this brings me back to my title. This is Stacey Lunsford, and you're listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and we are a part of a subsidiary of Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry. And our topic today is Cast Your Burdens Upon the Lord, Part 1. And we started out totally different today because of our caller that called in, Howard. And when I go forth with prayer, we're going to lift Howard, his wife, and his friend up in prayer. But today was a great day with this message. I'm excited about this message. As we continue to grow and move forward, we're going to learn what it means to cast your burden upon the Lord. So I pray that something said today has been a blessing to you. If you have a prayer request, if you have a comment, if you have a question, feel free to reach out to me at info@eloquentlyspeaking.com. Again, the email address to contact me is IN as in Nancy, F as in Frank, O, info@eloquentlyspeaking.com. And I will respond to your inquiry. At this time, we are going to prepare our hearts for prayer, and we are going to give God thanksgiving, and we're going to give God praise for all that he is doing in our lives. And, you know, some people don't give thanks to God for the things that they're going, things and hurtful things. And it took me a long time because when I would get hurt and I would get wounded, I was like, why am I going to thank God for somebody hurting me? Why am I going to praise God that somebody like really disappointed me? That hurts. Well, the word of God says, in everything give thanks unto the Lord. In Psalms 34 and verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. So I read this book. I went to a praise and worship workshop, and part of our books to read was called Prison to Praise by Marilyn Carothers, Carothers is his last name. His books are on sale at Amazon and other book outlets. His book is in great demand. It's a small book. It's a great read. It's an easy read, but it has been translated into different languages all over the world. And in this book, he shares his testimony of how he went AWOL when he was in the military. And so he ended up being locked up in military prison, and he went from prison to praise. So this is a powerful book. But through this book, God taught me how to start thanking him and praising him for everything. And I mean everything. I'm going through some stuff right now, and I tell you, I am giving thanks to God because I know he's turning it around and he's working it out in my favor. So please, whatever it is that is burdening you, whatever it is that is weighing you down, I want you to cast your cares upon God. Excuse me, I had to get some water. So I'm going to ask everybody to clear your heart and your mind. We're going to enter into prayer, and I want to turn my prophetic worship music up while I'm preparing to pray. And Father, we just thank you and we praise you for Cast Your Burden Upon the Lord radio broadcast today, part one. We thank you for this message. We thank you for the ability to say thank you, God. We just want to offer a praise and thanksgiving. We want to acknowledge you as God. We honor you. We reverence you. We love you. We adore you. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. God, we give you all of the praise. I praise you for every person listening to this broadcast. I praise you for their situation. I praise you for their circumstances. I praise you for their disappointments. I praise you for the despair. I praise you for the anxiety. I praise you for the fears. I praise you for the phobias. I praise you for the rejection. I praise you for the loneliness. I praise you for the isolation. I praise you for the weight of everything that they are carrying. I praise you for the burdens. I praise you for the disappointment. I praise you for the great shame that they are carrying, the humiliation. I praise you, God, for those that have been physically abused. I praise you for those that have been verbally abused. I praise you, God, for those that have been sexually molested. I praise you for those that have been sexually raped, spiritually raped, psychologically raped. I praise you for those that have been prostituted. I praise you, God, for those that have been sold into slavery. I praise you, God, for those that have been sold into human trafficking. I praise you, God, for those that have been sold into illegal marriages. I thank you for those that have been initiated into marine witchcraft and occultic powers, occultic relationships presented at a young age, at birth, carrying burdens, heavy loads, and they don't even understand the source. They don't know what happened to them. But I praise you. I praise you, God. I praise you. I praise you, God. I praise you. I praise you, God. I praise you. And as I praise you, I offer up thanksgiving. I thank you for every lie that your people have believed, lies that have been presented by people whose words were smooth as butter, but war was in their hearts. God, I thank you today. I thank you and I praise you. I praise you and I thank you. I thank you, God, and I praise you, God. I praise you, God, and I thank you, God. This is an emergency. And so I offer up this act of praise. Hallelujah. I offer up this SOS praise on behalf of your people that are burdened down, on behalf of your people that are greatly discouraged, like David was in Psalm 55. David was betrayed by his son, Absalom. David was betrayed by his counselor, Ahithophel. And it caused great sorrow and sadness and hopelessness and discouragement. And so, God, it caused David to grieve excessively. And this is why I praise you, God. This is why I offer up thanksgiving before I get into this prayer. And I praise you for the operations of the spirit of heaviness. God, I thank you. I praise you. I praise you. I thank you for allowing me to break down the operations of the spirit of heaviness, the cohorts of the spirit of heaviness that work closely with the spirit of anxiety, the spirit of fear, to control, to manipulate your people, to demonically oppress your people, to paralyze your people, to hijack the blessings that you have for your people. I thank you. I praise you. I praise you. I thank you. I thank you. I praise you. I praise you. I thank you. I thank you. I praise you. I praise you. I thank you. I thank you. I praise you. I praise you. I thank you. I thank you. I praise you. I praise you, God. I praise you, God. I praise you, God. Because I know as I'm praising you, I know that you're breaking up the fallow ground. I know that as I praise you, God, I know that as I offer up thanksgiving to you, that you are overturning that situation. I know, God, when I offer up praise, when I offer up thanksgiving, that it requires a response. And I know that when I praise you, God, I know that when I offer up thanksgiving to you, God, on behalf of your people, that it captures your attention because you placed them on my heart first. And in response, I said, okay, God, I'm going to go forth. I'm going to do this series on casting your burdens upon the Lord, and I'm going to teach the people how to cast their burdens upon you. So now, God, I'm placing a demand on your word as I offer up thanksgiving and as I offer up praise. Because I'm relying on you to honor your word. I'm relying on you, God, to confirm your word. I'm relying on you, God, to destroy the wicked devices of the enemy that has held your people captive long enough. So I say thank you, God. I praise you, God. I magnify your name. Your name is great, God. Your name is great, God, and greatly to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, you alone are worthy. You are worthy to be praised. And I praise you right now, God, in the name of Jesus. I welcome you into this place, Lord. I thank you that the atmosphere has changed. I feel your presence, Lord, and I just want to say thank you as I praise you, as I offer up this prayer, as I offer up this praise. Praise and prayer, prayer and praise. Father, I'm going to praise my way through this prayer as I lift up Howard to you. Howard is struggling with anxiety. Howard has some phobias, but God, there is some root issues. There are some things going on in Howard's life. And so I'm asking you, Spirit of the Living God, first to forgive me, to forgive Howard, to forgive all of us for our sins. I call forth a spirit of repentance in the name of Jesus. Father, I don't want anything to hinder these prayers. So we ask, oh God, that you cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Saturate us with the blood of Jesus. Give us a blood bath, God. Forgive us of all of our sins. Everything we did wrong, said wrong, thought wrong, every secret sin, every hidden sin, sins we don't even know that we committed against you and against others. Father, there are some people that are angry with us, upset with us right now. They're carrying a burden. They're carrying aught in their heart against us because we hurt them, we wounded them, and we don't even know that we hurt them. So this is why I'm crying out in the spirit of repentance, asking that you have mercy and that you cleanse us of all unrighteousness, wash us thoroughly with the blood of Jesus, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. Forgive us for every sin, every sin, every sin, God. So now, God, I want to present my petition to you. And I'm following the guidelines of Psalms 55 because David came to you, God, and David, he asked for your ear. So I'm asking for your ear, God. I'm asking that you hear my prayer. I'm asking that you hide not yourself from me. Now that I've captured your attention, God, I want to present my complaint to you. And my complaint is that many people are mourning and many people are overwhelmed by the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear has paralyzed your people. The spirit of fear is working with the spirit of robbery, and it has stolen the confidence of your people. It has stolen the voice, the power, the authority that you have given to your people. And Father, I lift Howard up to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I don't know Howard's situation. All I know is that Howard wants to go to Italy. Howard wants to please his wife. Howard wants to make his wife happy. So, Father, I lift Howard up to you. I lift his wife up to you. I lift his friend up to you. And I thank you for covering them with the blood of Jesus. By the power and authority that you have given unto me, I strategically activate your word in Matthew 18:18 that says, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So I bind the spirit of fear. I break its power off of Howard. I break the spirit of anxiety, worry, stress, despair, despondency, hopelessness, discouragement, and sadness. The spirit of fear must leave Howard now in the name of Jesus. And I lose the spirit of peace. I lose the spirit of power. I lose the sound mind. And I thank you that Howard has the mind of Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in Howard, which is also in Christ Jesus. As Howard keeps his mind stayed on you, you will keep Howard in perfect peace. I thank you that Howard is experiencing the presence, your presence right now, because God, I'm asking that you heal him supernaturally. I'm asking that you get down deep inside of his heart, his soul, oh Rabba Shanda, and that you heal him supernaturally. I release the power of the blood of Jesus to heal Howard, to deliver Howard from everything that has been troubling him, even the childhood trauma, in the name of Jesus. Deliver him right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for healing his marriage. I thank you for blessing his wife, blessing his friend. And I don't know what the ailment was for his friend, but he did say he wanted him to have, like, for his situation to inflame, like to have an episode. But I bring those words under the blood of Jesus, and I decree a crop failure on the words that Howard spoke for something to happen so that they can't go on this trip. So I bind all accidents. I bind all trouble that could happen because of what he said. And I bind the spirit of infirmity, and I curse it at the root, and I thank you for divinely healing, supernaturally healing Howard's friend right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for releasing your miracle healing power, and I pray, God, for pilots all over this world. I don't know what aircraft they was going to get on or what pilot Howard was talking about, but I decree a crop failure in the name of Jesus. I bring those words under the blood of Jesus, and I thank you that pilots that are flying, they are safe. They are covered by the blood of Jesus. I thank you for air traffic protection. Protect them in the airways, God. Protect them in the landing. Protect those in the watchtowers, the control towers that are watching over them on these flights. I bind all airplane crashes and disasters in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Father, I want to use Howard marriage as a point of contact for all marriages. And I thank you for those marriages that are experiencing great turmoil, a lot of chaos, a lot of mayhem. Things are happening, and there's a spirit of manipulation and operation, and the enemy is on an assignment to divide these marriages. And I bind the spirit of division and separation, and I loose the spirit of unity. I loose the spirit of cooperation, and I present these marriages to you right now in the name of Jesus. I bring their problems, God. I bring their hurts, their pains, their disappointments. I bring them to your altar. And I thank you, God, that I can exchange it for a spirit of unity, for a spirit of cooperation. And I bind the spirit of heaviness, and I loose the garment of praise, the oil of joy, the spirit of gladness. And I thank you for turning the ashes into beauty. And I thank you for doing the same thing for Howard and his wife and his friends. But Father, for all of these marriages that have been carrying unnecessary burdens and weights, I thank you for bringing them back to the conference table where they could sit down and discuss what really happened so that they can see the truth. And so they won't respond to the lies, to the deception, to the falsehood, to the spirit of buffoonery, because the enemy is trying to hoodwink. The enemy is on an assignment to conquer and to divide, to destroy the marriage, to destroy the children, to destroy the home. But I'm interceding in the name of Jesus. And I'm asking, God, that you cancel every assignment of the enemy. I place you in remembrance of your word, because your word says in Psalms 21 and verse 11 that the enemy will not be able to perform their wicked devices against your people. So I'm fighting today, God, but it's not like the world fights. I'm fighting with the weapons of my warfare that are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So I'm placing a demand on your word, and I'm asking, God, that you pull down the strongholds in these marriages. I'm asking, God, that you would remove, strategically remove every distraction, every hindrance, and loose a spirit of strategic focus in these marriages. I decree your word in Psalms 21 and 11. It says, for they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device which they are not able to perform. Therefore shall thou make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. So, Father, your word is saying that the enemy, their wicked devices, they can't perform it. So I bring all of these marriages to you. I don't care what they have been dealing with, what they have been facing. Some thought they was going to get a divorce. They've been fighting each other instead of fighting the spirits that are in operation. So I'm thanking you for divine reversals. I'm thanking you for divine reversals. I am thanking you for divine reversals and overturning situations and circumstances where these marriages thought they was going to get divorced, where they thought they no longer loved each other. Reveal and expose the spirit of delusion. Reveal and expose all of the smoke screens. Remove the scales from their eyes. Oh, Rabba Shaka. Remove the scales from their eyes and allow them to see what they are dealing with, who they are dealing with, and let those around them that don't have their best interests at heart, oh God, because I'm seeing a lot of outside interference with people that are just butting in their business, religious busybodies. Remove them, oh God. Remove their influence off of these marriages, off of the husband, off of the wife, off of the children, and purify their hearts. Purify their minds, God, creating them a clean heart and renewing them a right spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for letting them rededicate their lives to you, to rededicate their children to you, to rededicate their marriages to you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you for full restoration of marriages all around this world. I thank you that because of this broadcast today, God, that married couples are going to learn how to cast their burdens upon you. This message is not just about King David and what happened to him. This message is about us learning how to come to you, God, and to cast our cares upon you. So now, Father, I want to bring all of those that have been in or coming out of abusive relationships, men and women that are both victims, survivors of domestic violence. They're carrying heavy burdens. They're carrying a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, a lot of disappointment, and a lot of condemnation. And your word says in Romans 8 and 1, hallelujah, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I thank you, oh God, for overtaking these men, for overtaking these women. I thank you, Father God, for breathing the breath of life upon them. I thank you for turning their eyes away from what happened and helping them to lift their eyes unto the hills, from which cometh their help, because their help comes from you. God, you said that you would make a way of escape, and so I thank you that people are escaping today. And I thank you for safety planning, for those that you are helping to make a safe escape. I thank you for safety planning today. I thank you that they will reach their destination safely. I thank you, Father God, for those that have an opportunity to go to a safe place, a safe house. I thank you, Father God, for making a way of escape. And I thank you for your word that will not come back void. I pray for the children that have witnessed the abuse. I pray for the children that have seen things that they should not have seen. I pray for the children that heard things that they simply should not have heard, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you for these precious children, these babies, these young adults, these teenagers, these college students that are carrying heavy burdens because of the turmoil, because of the fighting, because of the arguing between their parents. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would divinely, that you would supernaturally remove all of these negative events out of their memory banks. Don't let them focus on what has happened, but I'm asking you to supernaturally heal them and to deliver them. I'm asking you to heal and to deliver whatever is going on in their souls. Father, whatever it is they're thinking about, whatever it is they're meditating on, whatever it is they've been rehearsing, every area of their mind, of their emotions, where the enemy has been trying to seduce them so that he can woo them, to get them to operate in the spirit of hatred and to display negative behavior that is not true to their nature because they're angry, because they're hurt, because they're disappointed. No, today is a different response. Today we are breaking up the fallow ground. Today I am asking you, oh God, to break in pieces the oppressor. Today, oh God, I am asking that you would arise, oh God, and let your enemies be scattered. Today, oh God, I lift up the children. Today, oh God, I cover the children with the blood of Jesus from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. I thank you for a blood wall of protection for all children, from babies on up to adults, in the mighty name of Jesus. Those that are toddlers, those that are just learning how to walk, those that are in preschool, those that are in elementary school, those that are in middle school, those that are in high school, those that are in college, oh God. Father, I thank you for each and every traumatic experience. I thank you, I praise you for those that are being bullied. I thank you and I praise you for those that are outcasts. I thank you and praise you for those that have received words that were smooth as butter, and it encouraged them. It lifted their heart from despair, but then they turned around and they said something hateful, God. And it loosed the spirit of despair and discouragement. And some of them have suicidal tendencies. Some of them have suicidal thoughts. But God, I bind the spirit of death. I bind the spirit of spiritual abortion. I bind the spirit of assassination. I bind the spirit of premature death, and I bind the spirit of suicide. I rebuke and I cast out these suicidal thoughts. I bring them under the blood of Jesus. I cancel every word curse that's been spoken against these precious children in the name of Jesus. And I decree and declare that they shall live and not die. They shall declare the works of the Lord. I thank you, Father, for everyone that have been speaking death and speaking that they will not achieve greatness in their lifetime. The devil is a liar, and I bind the spirit of lion, every lion tongue, every lion spirit that desire to see these children fall short of your glory, God. And those that are praying against their parents so that the parents are so distracted that they can't address the children and see that the children need them. Father, remove all of the roadblockers. Remove all of the rain stoppers and the rain blockers, and remove the floodgates, everything that is blocking and hindering the parents from being emotionally available first to each other and then to their children. Father, every evil demonic access that the enemy has had against the family, we break its power in Jesus' name. We break its power in Jesus' name. We break its power in Jesus' name. We release the fire of the Holy Ghost. We release the fire of the Holy Ghost against all demonic powers and principalities that desire to destroy families today. We thank you for restoring families today. We thank you for overturning protocols. We thank you for overturning decisions that have made, rulings that's been made in the courthouse that divided the family, that moved the father out of the house, that moved the mother out of the house, that moved the children out of the house. Father, we thank you for divine restoration and all of the burdens that was associated with each unique situation. We thank you that they will cast their burdens upon you. They will come to you. They will seek you. They will, Father God, receive counsel from you. They will receive information from you. They will receive information and instructions from you. And so I say thank you, God, in advance. Thank you for hearing my humble cry. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for healing. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for making a way against. Thank you for making a way where there was no way. Thank you for those whose backs have been against the wall. Thank you for allowing them to move forward and beyond. Father, this is my prayer today, and I seal these prayers with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ, binding the spirit of backlash and retaliation. In Jesus' name, I pray with thanksgiving in my heart. You are listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. My name is Stacey Lunsford, and the title of today's message is Cast Your Burden Upon the Lord, Part 1. We will be doing Part 2, and I pray that you have been blessed. If you have any questions, if you have a prayer request, please visit our website at www.eloquentlyspeaking.com, and you can send your emails to info@eloquentlyspeaking.com. God bless you. We love you, and we are praying for you. And God loves you. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. God bless you. Thank you for joining me today. Have a wonderful day.